I invite you to turn with me to Psalm 18 from God's Word. Psalm 18, and we'll look at verses 25 through 50 this morning, having considered verses 1 through 24 last week. God's Word to us, Psalm 18, beginning with verse 25. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem tortuous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord, my God, lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend the bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and did not turn back till they were consumed. I thrust them through so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, and those who hated me I destroyed. They cried for help, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as dust before the wind. I cast them out like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with the people. You made me the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners came cringing to me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock. Exalted be the God of my salvation. The God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who delivered me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You rescued me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. Thus far, the reading of his word to us this morning, may he add his blessing to the reading and to the proclamation of it. Dear beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, last week we looked at the first part of Psalm 18 as David's album, his photo album. Really, all of Psalm 18 is, in a sense, his photo album. And how he has reflected upon a lifetime of God's protection through many of his trials and ordeals. We answered the first of three questions. First, how are we to address his providence? Second, how we are to respond to his protection? And third, how we are to conclude our praise. In asking how we are to address his providence, we focused, if you recall, on verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord to my God. I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. We concluded that God not only heard him, but he also delivered him, as verse 19 suggests. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Hence, we are to address his providence with great adoration. And Psalm 18 shows us how that can be done. Because the delivery that King David received reflects the greater delivery that we have received through Jesus Christ. So we come to answer now the second question. How are we to respond to his protection? Verses 25 through 29. With the merciful you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you show yourself blameless. With the purified you show yourself pure. And with the crooked you make yourself seem tortuous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. How do you respond to all that? With this marvelous declaration from Psalm 18, verse 30. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. He's a shield. He is your shield. He's a shield for those who take refuge in him. And who are those? The merciful, the purified, the humble. We see verse after verse in Hebrews 11, the who's who of the faithful in the Old Testament. If you go to Hebrews 11, you see that litany of names of all those who have professed their faith and how God had delivered them based upon the faith that they displayed. God blesses those who are faithful. That's how it works. Ephesians 2:8. We know that faith is a gift, right? For by grace you've been saved through faith. And then later on, verse 9, we know that it's a gift so that we may not boast. And David is not boasting. As I mentioned last week, David is not bragging about his own righteousness, but upon God's righteousness. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Wow. Hebrews 11:6 is like the entire Psalm 18 in a verse. He rewards those who seek him. And that's what David was all about, seeking God in all things. So how are we to respond to his protection? Faithfully. Faithfully. In faith. Knowing that we are faithful by the grace of God and through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Thus, we can seek him because he has opened our eyes so that we can see. He's opened our ears to hear, made our minds discerning, right? And our hearts receptive to the things of Christ. Why else, beloved, would we be here this morning? It's very simple. We know, by the grace of God, as David knew, that he and we are not our own. We belong to him. And He lavishes us His blessings as part, and part of that is that divine protection. It comes down to this. God blesses those who seek after Him. And David, well, he understood this. David witnessed this firsthand. He's not exploring this. This is not a hypothesis. This is not, you know, this is a theory. He's not musing here. He's not sitting down writing this psalm, imagining or wondering, if there is a God out there and I give my allegiance to Him, what would be the possibility that He would reward me? He's not doing that. Again, Psalm 18 is this photo album. He witnessed the delivery. He saw things firsthand. And remember, this psalm is not a petitioning prayer. A lot of the psalms are, but this one is not. David remembering all that God has done for him in his hour of need. That's what this psalm is all about. God delivered David, and David is responding to that protection. Verses 31 through 36. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. Is there anything recurring in those verses that has made an impression upon you? You have given. You gave, O Lord. How many times is David referring to you, God, not a God, not the God? You, God. Very direct here. It is not David with a little help from God. It's God. It's all God. And that's what David is saying. He is just the instrument. And that deliverance ultimately comes from God. And yes, he does mention his own righteousness. God responding according to David's righteousness is what the psalm says in part. But here's where we need the broader context. David has no righteousness outside of Christ. What he says about himself is predicated or based on the work of the Redeemer as defined by that special relationship forged by the covenantal promise. I will be your God, and you will be my people. That's how it works. That's how he formed Israel. Except Israel decided, well, why have one God? Why not have a lot of gods? Why not adopt the gods from east and west, north and south, all around us? Aren't more gods better than just one God? Is that the covenantal promise that God laid out? You can have as many gods as you want, as long as I'm one of them. No! I see a young lady shaking her head. You're right. No! There is but one God. And we must never lose sight of that. The most powerful testimony of God's faithfulness never begins with man. It doesn't begin with man. It's not how I came to Jesus. Oh, how many times have I heard that? Let me tell you how I came to Jesus. I don't really care. I don't want to hear that, really. No, no, no. It's how Jesus came to me by the love of the Father and through the application of the Spirit. If you want to give me your testimony, frame it that way. that the Lord came to you by the love of the Father and by the application of the Spirit. Not some drug-infested narrative and how you were brought out of the gutter and found Jesus one day. I don't care to hear about that. I want to know about the love of the Father and how this has been applied by the Spirit unto you. Brothers and sisters, we do not partner up with God. That phraseology is still popular today. Let's go ahead and partner up with Jesus. That which is impure cannot associate that which is pure. Let me repeat. That which is impure cannot associate with that which is pure. Yet through Christ, we have been purified. Not to team up with God, but to be in the presence of God. That's different. You are called to be in the presence of God. You are called to be an ambassador of Christ. If that's what you mean by team Jesus, all right, I still don't like the phraseology. But you are not really to be teamed with God. You are to be in the presence of God. And how wonderful that is that we can be in His presence. And this is what Psalm 18 is all about. Being in the presence of God. The God who provides and the God who protects. And finally, after asking and answering these questions, how are we to address His providence and how are we to respond to His protection? And the first question, we address His providence with adoration. And the second, faithfully, we respond to His protection faithfully. We come now to the final question, how are we to conclude our praise? How are we to kind of wrap it all up? Listen to how David, under the superintendence of the Holy Spirit, concludes his psalm. The Lord lives and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who delivered me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against you. You rescued me from a man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to the king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. David began the psalm with the rock. Verse 2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And then in verse 31, he comes back to that motif. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? And now, verse 46, the Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. As noted last time, the metaphor describes refuge, the refuge we have in Christ. How are we to conclude our praise? With bold, heartfelt acknowledgement. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Magnificent acknowledgement. And he finishes this way. Great salvation he brings to his king and shows his steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. You see, the fulfillment of this psalm, friends, is not David himself. The steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever, is fulfilled in Christ. While it is true that David was anointed as king, think now of the greater anointing you have in the one who is ultimately, or was ultimately anointed, Jesus Christ, anointed as prophet, priest, and king. Paul writes to the Corinthians, and it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put His seal on us and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. You've been anointed. You have been anointed. And He's given you His Spirit as a guarantee. You are anointed in Christ. Wow. Friends, why is it that our prayer life and praise can be so anemic at times, so weak? It's because we do a pretty good job at compartmentalizing our faith. We're really good at this. That's a fancy word, compartmentalizing. And it's like we take our faith, we kind of put it in a box, and we have multiple boxes. So, yeah, we have faith, we also have this, we have personality, we have this and this and this and this. And faith is just a part of who we are. And sometimes that box can get a little small. We kind of stuff it in our pockets and we leave it there. So we can identify ourselves as a Reformed Christian, but we don't always consider something. And that is, we are 24/7. In the presence of God, 24/7. As a child of God, as an adopted child of God, you are never not His adopted child. Once you've been brought into the family of God, you're always there. The perseverance of the saints. You're not given the grace and then the grace leaves. If you've been truly given the grace, you always have that grace. One of the key reformational motifs is that, doctrinally speaking, we don't believe that we live in the sacred and then we live in the profane. In the Roman church, they had this understanding that you come to church and now you are now in the sacred. And then when you're not so much in the church and you're outside of worship, you are in the profane. As a member living in that part of the world, in the profane, you can just be profane. Which is interesting because I once was traveling with my father-in-law, and we went to a gas station where he sold tires, and there was the local priest, and that local priest was cussing up a storm. I couldn't believe it. So I said to the father, doesn't it bother you that you're so profane? And he looked at me quizzically, and he said, son, I'm in the profane right now. And if I'm in the profane, I can act profane. And I'm scratching my head. Where do we find that in God's Word? That we can be somebody different outside of church proper, outside of worship? So doctrinally, we disagree with all of that. With Roman church things, we can be one world and another world and live dualistically. But practically speaking, don't we also do that as Reformed people? We're close to God, maybe in worship, but not so close to God once we leave worship. We set aside those devoted times, and devoted times are good. Even Christ had devoted times. He took time out to speak to His Heavenly Father. He prayed. So we have a precedent for that. But sometimes our devoted times are, okay, I have to give this to God, and after that, I'm done. I'm done, and I can be myself again. What does it mean to be yourself again? If yourself isn't in Christ, then you're not in Christ. Now, to be sure, corporate worship is coming into the presence of God in a unique way. But we must know that it is never our exiting of this worship that we exit the presence of God until we pray or until we pick up our Bibles. Do you ever take off your robe of righteousness? You ever try to do that? Take off your robe of righteousness. Isn't that what He has clothed you? You've taken off your filthy garments, that which smelled badly, that which reeked God has removed, and He's clothing you because you've been anointed, as Psalm 18 says, really. Do you want to take that off? David, in Psalm 18, basically said, you can't do that. We don't do religion when it suits us. We don't do faith when we are into it. Our covenant God provides and protects His people always. And we'll always have those seasons of joy, those seasons of celebration, those seasons of sadness, those seasons of trial. We'll always have those times in which we're not very faithful. But God is always with us. The question is, are you always with Him? 1 Samuel 13:14, Acts 13:22, speak of David as a man after my heart. David, a man after my heart. When David was called to replace Saul, it was incumbent upon the prophet to explain to Saul that someone's going to come here and replace you, and it's going to be a man after God's heart. What are you after? Whom are you after? Are you after God? When you study David's military exploits and all the running he did, the truth is he was always looking behind because he had to keep an eye on the enemy. And sometimes the enemy was Saul. Sometimes the enemy was the Philistines or some other nation. Sometimes the enemy was his own son. So he kept, you know, kept an eye looking behind, as a good warrior would. He was vigilant that way. But what David sets apart is that he didn't remove his faith like you would remove your armor. He was always looking ahead in faith to God. Yes, he was being pursued. He knew it. And Psalm 18 isn't, Lord, help me. The enemy is approaching. It's, thank you, Lord, for delivering me from the enemy. So as I mentioned last week, all these Polaroids, all these photographs in Psalm 18 are captured moments in David's life. Captured moments. At the coffee shop the other day, I saw someone doing the swiping thing, getting out the phone, the smartphone, and showing to her friends all around the table, hey, look at this, so quickly. And the friend's like, yeah, that was cool. She was going so quickly. And I'm just looking at that thinking, you know what they're not doing? They're not engaging in these individual pictures. They're looking at the whole thing as just something collective. Oh, yeah. Swiping from this to that. Psalm 18 isn't an iPhone that you can swipe. It's one of those old, maybe a little smelly now, if you have your grandparents' Polaroid album, as you turn from one page to the next, you see those pictures and you spend time looking at them. And when David did that, he saw the ugly. He saw the trial. He saw the madness. He experienced it. He lived the trial. He witnessed the loss of family. He faced the consequences of his sin. He saw that picture too. He got a front row seat in his crumbling empire and to its rebound. And in all of that, he addressed the providence of God. As he saw his kingdom having all sorts of issues because of family problems, crumbling, and then how God restored all of that. He adored God for that providence. He responded to the protection of God in faith. And he concluded the matter with praise. By God's grace, beloved, we must do the same. Be faithful in your walk. living out your faith in all that you do. Let's pray.